The message that God has given me today is not a message for you, but a message to us. It never fails when I'm given the opportunity to speak or teach or preach that God has a way of putting His finger on me and in my own personal walk. And this message today is no different. The words that I'm going to share with you this morning are personal to me. They hit me really where I live. Margaret, I was sharing with her, and I told her the topic, but I didn't share with her everything about it. And she says, "Are you sure you want to preach that?" And I said, "Well, that's what God's given me. It doesn't matter if I'm there or not yet. He's telling me that's where I need to be, so that's what we're sharing." Several years ago, Rick Warren wrote a book entitled The Purpose-Driven Life. It sold millions of copies, and it seemed to hit a nerve with people. Where people were searching for meaning in their lives. And it's with this backdrop that I began to think about this idea of living the abundant life. We're living in a time when people are just really struggling. People are worried. People are concerned. And you don't have to, you turn on the TV and you turn on your Facebook, all kind of things. You see where people are just, they're really wondering what's going on. But in John chapter 10, verse 10, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus said that He came that we might have life, and not only have life, but that we might have it more abundantly. Now, over the years, I've pondered this verse more than one time, and many times I've asked myself, you know, really, what does that mean, to have an abundant life? What does that look like? What was He really talking about? Was He talking about the abundant life here, now, in the nitty-gritty of where we are? Or in the sweet by and by someday, when we all die and go to heaven? Well, as I've looked at Scripture and I've studied Scripture, I believe it's both. It's not only quantity of life, it's quality of life. It's quality of life now, quality of life in the hereafter. It's quantity of life now, and it's quantity of life in the hereafter. But I have, in studying Scripture, come to this conclusion, and am convinced of this, that Jesus was not talking about a health and wealth, prosperity religion, where you can have whatever you want and everything's going to be wonderful all the time. That wasn't what He was talking about. Which led me to have several questions. If abundant life is not about earthly treasures and a life of ease, then what did He mean by abundant life? How can I experience it? What does it consist of? What does it look like? How do I know if I've got it? Well, if you have to ask the question, you probably don't. I think it's always important to talk about the context and setting of a scripture when we just take a few verses out of and begin to read them. Chapter 10 has been referred to as the Good Shepherd chapter. It contrasts Jesus as the Good Shepherd to the religious leaders of His day. It comes shortly after a conflict that He had with the religious leaders regarding a man who had been born blind that He healed of his blindness. The religious leaders had shown themselves to be so unhelpful and so cruel to this man and to his family and to the common people of his day that Jesus felt it was necessary to talk and contrast His life and what He had come to do compared to what they were doing. And so it's within that context that Jesus described Himself as the Good Shepherd and said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly," unlike what they were experiencing under the religious leaders of that day. Ultimately, Jesus was saying this: the only way to have abundant life was through a personal relationship with the Good Shepherd, and that is Him. Which brought me back to that my original question. If Jesus did come that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly, then why don't I always experience it abundantly? He said He came that I might have it, and I might have it more abundantly. Jesus did not lie. He was telling the truth. He did come that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. So if I'm not, why not? Well, first thing I think we must discover and must realize is in order to have abundant life, you must have an abundant resource. Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." You're not going to have abundant life through any other way other than through faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
Now, a lot of times I think we know a lot of things in our hearts, but our minds try to convince us that there's another way. All you have to do, and listen, all these things I'm fixing to say can be good, but you're not going to find abundant life in your spouse. You're not going to find abundant life in your children. You're not going to find abundant life in your grandchildren. You're not going to find abundant life in your job or some position that you acquire in your job. You're not going to find abundant life in your possessions or in your pleasures. In fact, if we are seeking abundant life in any of those areas, we're ultimately going to end up disappointed. Now, as believers, we've received eternal life as a free gift. And while we may have received eternal life as a free gift, that does not necessarily mean that we will experience abundant life that Jesus has promised us. I've got another scripture I want us to look at, because in this John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, Jesus lists the condition of experiencing that abundant life. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have given to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him," guess what it says, "bears much fruit, abundant fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Now in these verses, Jesus gives us the key to experiencing the abundant life, and that is we must abide in him. I am a forester by training and education. And years ago, they began to try to improve the kind of pine trees that we grew, and they would take the best limbs off some trees and put them in with another tree that had other characteristics, and they grafted them into that stem. As believers, we have been grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ. Now, as long as that stem is in that vine, in that trunk, in that tree, it is going to grow and mature and produce fruit. But if you remove that branch from that tree, from that vine, it will cease to grow and produce fruit. Amen. Somehow or another, we think we receive Christ, and that's all we have to do is believe in him and trust in him, and we're going to be okay, and we're going to experience the abundant life. And then we take ourselves away from the vine and think, what's wrong now? Amen. We must abide in the vine.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, it's God's will and should be the norm that we abide in Christ, and in doing so that we live the dynamic, abundant, fruit-bearing lives that he created us to live.
Yeah.
The problem is we cannot attain it on our own.
Right.
We can't do it in the flesh.
That's right.
And if we're not abiding in Christ, we'll soon yield to that carnal, fleshly life that is around us. There's a story of a man named Tom Johnson, very similar to the story of the prodigal son. Tom was adopted as a young lad into the home of a very well-to-do, affluent family. And they loved Tom, and they probably showered him with more love and more things than he needed to be. They provided him great education. But when he was a teenager, he decided he didn't like living at home. He didn't like living in mom and dad's house. He wanted to get out on his own. And he left. And he went out and lived a life of wanton pleasure. He became an alcohol and drug addict. Ended up homeless, penniless, on the street. Now, Tom was an heir because he had been adopted into the family. But he was living below and beneath the privilege that was intended for him, and was living in ultra poverty on the street. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, there was talking to them about living lives that were not abiding. He's talking to them as baby Christians. And he said, "Brothers and sisters," this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, "I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?" These early Christians had missed out on the abundant life because they were not abiding in Christ.
Yeah.
They were living by the flesh. Their resources were from their fleshly nature. The fleshly nature is controlled by my own desires and the circumstances around me. Do you ever feel yourself getting down because of the circumstances that you find yourself in? I go back to those things that we seek fulfillment in, our spouses. They don't do what we think they should do. They don't act the way we think they should act. They don't love us the way we think they should love us. We look at our children. They don't behave the way we think they should behave. They don't do what we thought they should do. They disappoint us. We go to our jobs. My boss doesn't treat me the way I think I should be treated. He doesn't appreciate me the way I think I should be appreciated. And I get all discouraged about it. And you know what? It can happen even in the church. We look at other individuals to meet our needs and to make us feel good, and we abide in them rather than abiding in Christ.
Yep. Uh-oh.
The abundant life is not controlled by my circumstances, but by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah.
When we are filled with the Spirit and abiding in Christ, we have unlimited resources with which we can call and which we can deal with when we feel in discouragement and not give in to those negative things that are going on around us. The carnal life leads to defeat, whereas the abundant life leads to victory. You know, I think sometimes we as Christians know everything there is to know about being a Christian, especially here in the United States. We have a lot of head knowledge. We know everything there is to know about being a Christian, except for how to live the abundant life. So that's what I want to talk to us about this morning. All that was your introduction. So now we're getting to the message. Before I tell you what an abundant life looks like, what it is, how you know if you got it, let me tell you what it's not. It's not a trouble-free life. Now, I think a lot of people have this idea of the abundant life is like going to a water park where they have that little lazy river and you get your tube and you just pop down in it and you just sort of kick back. And if there's not too many kids there, you just float along. That's the abundant life. No. Well, that's not the abundant life.
Not.
The abundant life is not a life of wealth and riches. All you have to do is turn on the TV, and I don't even know the name of the program, but sometimes every night they're about these Hollywood stars, and you can tell they got plenty of money, sports people and all this, and they're always miserable. And they always end up in trouble. And they always are looking to fill something up that they ain't got. And so it's not a life of wealth and riches. It's not a life of perfect health. We live in the most healthy, conscious society probably ever. We got more doctors and more medicines and more things, and we think if I can just be healthy, I'll be happy. I can have an abundant life if I can just be healthy. A healthy life is not an abundant life. An abundant life is not a bed of roses where everything in the world equates to success or pleasure. So what is an abundant life? Five things I want to talk to you about. The first thing in abundant life is, it is a yielded life. How to live the abundant life is not a secret. It's revealed in Jesus Christ Himself. In Romans 6:10 it says, the death he died once and for all, but the life he lives to God. When you receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you died to the old man, you were born again to live a new life unto Him. The problem is sometimes we like to go back and revisit the old. You're not going to experience abundant life if you keep going back to the old. You live for Him. He died for you. You live for Him. A yielded life. Jesus yielded His life to God the Father. You get that? Jesus yielded His life to His Father. You know, it's one thing to have eternal life by faith. It's another thing to have abundant life by faith. I think we all know we receive eternal life by faith, but you live the abundant life by faith. It's one thing for you to become the righteous, is to become the righteous of God in Him. In other words, you become righteous because you receive Him. It's another thing for you to realize His righteous life in you. That is, you revealing by your life, letting Him live it through you, the righteousness of God. It's one thing for you to live in Christ. It's another thing for Christ to live in you. Romans 6:13 says this, do not offer any part, get this now, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. You ever think about that when you sin, that you're actually just offering yourself to it?
Yeah.
as an offering. Don't offer yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been bought or brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. That is a yielded life. You think about old Tom. Tom was unwilling to yield himself to his mother and father who adopted him. He wanted to go do his own thing. So many times we're the same way.
Yep.
What is this verse saying? It is saying this. You have a choice. Just like you had a choice to receive God's gift and to say, when He was beckoning to you, I want you to receive me. And you said, yes, I want to receive you, because His Spirit convicted you of your need for Him. And you said, yes. The same thing is true for the abundant life. He wants you to experience abundant life. He is there to give it to you. He wants you to yield your will to Him. He wants us to know the power of that yielded life. You know, several years ago there was a country singer named Carrie Underwood. She wrote a real popular song about she was riding home. One night she had a child in the back and she hit some ice. She started spinning around. She said, Jesus, take the wheel. That's the way we are a lot of times. We want to hold on to the wheel. We're driving down the road, and when trouble hits, we say, okay, now, Jesus, you take the wheel. You know what? He wants the wheel now. Not when you get in trouble. He wants you to yield your life right now. Yield to Him. Say, Jesus, I'm going to make a mess every day. Please, every day when I get out of the bed, Lord, this is your day. I am yours. I am yielding my will, my life to you. Here I am. Use me. Rather than, I'm going to do it my way, Lord. When I get in trouble, I'm going to say, okay, come take the wheel. You get in the back seat and ride for a while. That is not an abundant-filled life. That is not a yielded life. So, number one, are you yielded? You want to experience abundant life? You must be yielded. Number two, the abundant life is a life of service. Boy, I'm going to have to go fast, brother. There's five of these. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you. Hey, I practiced this and I had it in 30 minutes, but I don't know what's happened here. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. To live abundantly, you must serve the Lord, who became our example as He served all the way to Calvary. Obedient to the point of death. In these verses, we're told that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service. This is a willing, voluntary surrender to the perfect will of God, even though you may not know what the perfect will is. I don't know what you got, God, but I'm surrendering. It's yours. I'll serve you however. You know, there are over 12 or 15 different areas in the ministry of this church that you can serve. And many of you are already. But you're not going to live the abundant life if you're selfish and you say, I ain't got time to serve. Let's let somebody else do it. An abundant life is a service life. Are you serving? The third thing of an abundant life is a separated life. Romans 1:1, Paul wrote these words, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Separation, some people view as negative, but it's really not negative, but people view it as negative, people view it as positive. We are to be separated to the gospel of God. That is a positive thing. We are to be separated, set apart for the gospel of God. We're to be separated from anything that is contrary to the perfect will of God. Now, some people will view that as negative, but that's a positive too.
Yes, sir.
To be separated means to be sanctified for salvation and service. Without being separated, you can try and not trust. You can serve and not succeed. You can war and not win. Without being separated to God from sin, your whole Christian life will be wood, hay, and stubble. Yep. I'll say that again. Unless you're separated from the gospel of God, your whole life can become wood, hay, and stubble. When I was a young boy, my mother believed in chores. And so she had us doing chores all the time. And really, it was a good thing. I think we've lost that somewhere, because it was a training ground to get me prepared for life. But one of the things she taught me was how to wash clothes. And you can't wash clothes without separating the colors from the whites. Why is that? Yeah, you have pink underwear, somebody said. You know, the reality is, if you put white clothes in with colored clothes, are the colored clothes going to get white?
No.
No, the white clothes are going to get colors on them. We are called to be separated and sanctified. In the world, but not of the world. When people look at me, they're supposed to say, that man is different. He is not the same as these other folks. He is a born-again believer. He acts different. He looks different. He's separated for the gospel of God. You know what the problem is today? We are not separated. And you cannot live an abundant life and be lukewarm and look like the world and live the abundant life. You must be separated.
Amen. Yep.
And you must be, you can't be separated if, number four, you aren't spirit-filled. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer. Now, you may be immature, you may be weak, you may be imperfect, but if you're born again, the Spirit dwells in you. The question is, does it control you? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to control you? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you? You're not going to live the abundant life because part of the whole thing of abiding in Christ is letting the Holy Spirit fill you and control you. And you're not going to live the abundant life if you're not being Spirit-filled and Spirit-controlled. Whatever your favorite car is, I want you to think about it. It might be a Lamborghini. It might be a big old F-150 four-wheel drive, whatever. Just picture your favorite car. It's brand new. It's got all the bells and whistles. It is ready to go. There's one problem. There ain't no gas in the tank. Now, you can get in that car and you can push it. And maybe if you've got a little incline, you can get it rolling and you can hop in it. And it'll be kind of nice for a little while until you start getting to the bottom of the hill and start up and then it's going to stop. So many times we want to live the Christian life abundantly in our own power without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is to your Christian life and living the abundant life just like gasoline is that engine. And if you can want to do it on your own, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah.
So, are you living the Spirit-filled life or are you trying to do it on your own? Finally, the abundant life is a mature life. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. There are basically four stages of spiritual growth, and you're not going to get there if you're not abiding in the vine. But the first stage is the baby stage. When someone's born again, a little deacon was born, he comes home, you don't expect a whole lot out of deacon. Just lay there and look cute. And that's the way it is for baby Christians sometimes. The problem with baby Christians is they only think of themselves, and if they denied, and you'll hear this from little deacon not very long, if they're denied anything, they're going to start raising a ruckus. They want their own way. Their feelings get hurt easy. They want to be served. They never serve. They drink milk. They can't eat meat. They cry, but they never sing. They try to talk, but they don't make any sense.
Go on ahead, brother. You've got about another 5 minutes.
That is a baby Christian.
Yep.
Hopefully they will grow up to be in the child stage. And in 1 John chapter 2, John addresses three other stages of Christian growth. That of the child, that of the young man, and that of the father. Some people make it to the child stage, but they stop there. And here's some of the characteristics of children. They're often untruthful, envious, and cruel. If rebuked, they become martyrs. If crossed, they become resentful and often make a scene. They are tellbearers, repeating everything they hear. In adults, we call that gossips. They're given to emotional outbursts. They love praise and will accept it from any source. They seek only the things that appeal to self. Then there's the young man stage. This is spiritual growth that many can reach, but not many do. He's strong and virile, is well able to overcome his enemy. He has a vision for the future and the faith and courage to take it. He is preparing for his productive years by putting away childish things. And finally, the fourth stage of mature spiritual growth is that of the father. This, too, can be reached by all, but it requires remaining in the vine, being yielded, being separated, being filled. The spiritual father has the peace with God. He knows the peace of God. He rejoices in his spiritual children, which means he has shared his faith with somebody and has mentored somebody in the faith. He has learned contentment under all circumstances, no matter what's going on around him. He learns how to be content. What did Paul say? I've learned to be content in all things. He knows the only source of true strength lies in Jesus. He does not brood over the past, but looks to the future. He knows that all things work together in his life for his eternal good. He enjoys abundant life and will enjoy the life to come. Now, what stage are you in today? As I was preparing this message, I couldn't help but evaluate my own life to ask myself, am I living a yielded life? Am I living a separated life? Am I living a life of service? Am I living a spirit-filled life? And am I living a mature life? Now, as much as it does hurt, I couldn't always answer yes to those questions. You probably can't either. I would pray you could. As much as I desire to experience the abundant life that Jesus promises, I realize there's areas where I have not yielded. There are places and things that I have not separated myself from or to. There's times when I'm operating in the power of my own flesh without the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Margaret will probably say amen. As much as I hate to admit it, even though sometimes I see myself as a young man or a father, there are times when I can also see that child or that baby even. So what's the answer? What's the solution? I think we really know in our hearts that the problem lies. What's that old saying? I've seen the enemy and he is me.
Yeah.
Just like Tom Johnson, who was the heir, we were heirs. But he had to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Are you going to yield your will to the Father's will? Are you going to allow him to separate you from this world to him? Are you going to be willing to serve him and others as he leads you to serve? Are you going to ask him to fill you, to indwell you, and empower you with his Holy Spirit? And are you going to commit to grow as he guides you and leads you? There's an interesting thing here. I should have told you at the beginning. You can't do this. Not on your own.
That's right.
In fact, Jesus never said you could do it on your own.
That's right.
But he did say that he would do it in us if we would surrender and abide in him.
Amen.
So the question I want to leave us with this morning is this. Are you experiencing the abundant spirit-filled life that Jesus said he came that you might have? And if not, why not? You ever get sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you ready to stop trying to fill that God-sized hole in your heart with everything but God? If that's you, I have some good news for you. Jesus said that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. That is the quality and the quantity of the life of Jesus. And it's available to you and to me if we are willing to surrender our lives to him and abide in him. You going to settle for it or you want all that he has? In a minute, Brother Moses is going to come. We're going to have a time of decision. And if you're here this morning and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, there ain't no better time to get it, deal with it right now. I did want to share this. And this is not exactly part of this, but it is too. Over the last several weeks, Brother Moses has really been sending me to school. And he gives me a lot of things to read. One of the books he gave me to read was called I Will, written by Tom Rainer. In this book, it talks about 9 traits of an outwardly focused Christian. If you are living the abundant life, you are going to be others focused and outwardly focused and not me focused. Now, in this is an awesome book, and we want to make it available to every family in this church that is sick and tired of being sick and tired, and who will commit to read the whole book. Now, if you're not going to read it, And you're just going to take it, leave it for somebody else. But I challenge you, if you're serious about moving forward and growing in your walk with the Lord and making a difference here at Center Point Community Church, pick up one of these, one per family, and take it home, read it, and let the Lord speak to you, because He can say more to you than I said this morning in 30 minutes as you read this book. So I want you to, my brother Bo is going to be standing at the table outside, so, and he's just going to have them there. You just come out and say, I want one, and they're yours, provided you promise to read it. All right? Don't pick it up if you ain't going to read it. Now is the time of decision. So we're going to sing. But Moses is going to come, and let the Lord move your hearts.